Welcome to How to Study in Germany, the podcast that guides international students through the exciting journey of studying abroad. From navigating student life to overcoming challenges, we are here to help make your experience in Germany unforgettable. Tune in for real stories, valuable insights, and everything you need to thrive as an international student.
Hi, my name is David Odiase. I am a student from Nigeria, currently studying at Lufana University in Lüneburg. I am currently in my Lufana semester. I'm doing cultural studies for my major and museum studies for my minor.
Hi, David. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start with the short blitz.
Okay.
Poetry or film?
Poetry or film? Poetry.
Big city or quiet town?
That depends. Big city.
Performing live or writing in solitude?
Writing in solitude.
Lagos or Berlin?
Always Lagos.
Cultural studies or filmmaking?
Cultural studies.
Books or music?
Books.
Stage performance or screen production?
Oh, that's really tough one. Stage performance.
Traditional African storytelling or modern experimental art?
Oh, man. Okay, I may get butchered for this, but I would choose modern experimental arts.
Spoken word or written poetry?
Written poetry.
One word that defines your artistic journey?
Growth.
So, let's start with our podcast, your artist journey. When did you first discover your passion for poetry and performance?
I started writing as young as 7 years of age. I used to be an only child, and my dad would buy me books to read and study. And from there, I started to write like short stories, songs, and poems. And about some 7 years ago, I decided to venture into performing my poems because I realized people did not really understand what I was trying to say when I was writing my poetry. And I wanted to add a bit more depth and versatility to what I did. And that informed my decision to go into performance.
Your work requires deep nuances of Africa's history and culture.
Yes.
What drives you to tell these stories?
I mean, the story has to be told either ways. And I would prefer that they are told from an African perspective. And we have other people who tell things, who write stories or tell stories about love, about, you know, fun, about entertainment, about amusement. But I feel like the artist has to be the conscience of the society. And this is how I feel drawn to telling and creating stories around history, around human experiences, and also to challenge and change Western stereotypes about African people.
How do you blend together the literature, the film, the experimental art in your creative process? I guess it's quite hard. It's just such a multidisciplinarity.
Yes. So I would not say I am able to find an absolute balance, but one of the things that has really helped me is to think without limits. Like when I think, I don't always think that, oh, this is where I should stop. I always first start to carve the idea as if I can do everything possible to bring it to reality. Then once I'm done with that, then I can now say, okay, how best can I tell these stories? What disciplines can I merge into telling these stories? You know, so I think that is how I am able to still, you know, walk across all of these disciplines. Yeah.
But in general, in what way you can tell the story the best? Is it in literature or the film, experimental art?
So I would say that writing is about, like, the whole creative process is about building dimensions. Like, writing is one dimension of, you know, storytelling. And then you start to add color, that makes it film. And then you start to add performance, and that makes it stage. And then sometimes you have to build the environment, and that makes it more of an installation. So all of these things have both their advantage and their disadvantage. But then it also depends on the kind of story that I intend to tell, and also on the kind of audience. If it's a story for page where I am at liberty to, you know, play with, you know, writing structures and forms, I go with that. If it's an experimental story, obviously it is best told through film. And if it's something that I feel I would like to make it a very interactive and present experience, I would opt for performance. Yeah.
Can you tell us about your favorite project that had a deep impact on you?
Wow. My favorite project is titled In My Mother Tongue, There Are No Horcruxes. It was produced with the help and support of the Goethe Institute in Ireland in collaboration with the Goethe Institute in Nigeria. And I was sponsored to carry out my residency project to build upon my project in Mexico. And for the duration of my stay in Mexico, I focused on basically connecting African notions of time with principles of quantum physics. So it was quite...
art and science.
Yes, definitely art and science. And I really got to speak to so many experts. I recall at some point I visited the Institute of Nuclear Physics in Mexico. I spoke to astrophysicists. I spoke to quantum scientists, and all in a bid to basically connect all of these notions of how time in both quantum physics and African belief systems, time is nonlinear. So in a way, I was trying to find parallels between science and also Africanism, if I can use that word, and how I can also relate that to how events of colonialism has helped to alter events, like historical events, you know, and how I can, so to speak, to remember the future. So it was a process of world building for me. It was a process of dreaming. And it was also a process of advocating for returning of, you know, stolen African artifacts that are currently in Western museums. So you find that in this project, I was able to tap deep into the whole idea of world structures and belief system, except this time I got to do that from, you know, the African perspective. Yes.
That's very impressive, because in your case, art requires not being creative, just requires being very intelligent in all of the aspects.
I mean, and this may sound a bit unconventional, but I think that more than creativity or intelligence, what is required to make art has to be your humanity, because it's from your humanity that you are able to connect and able to really, you know, feel, you know, the human experiences and the stories that you are telling through your art.
Yeah, true. Moving to our next topic, starting in Nigeria and afterwards moving to Germany. It's like a very short timeline. What was your academic journey like in Nigeria before you moved to Germany?
In Nigeria, I studied in Yaba College of Technology. It's a polytechnic in Lagos, and I did food technology. So I studied food technology before. Along the line, I realized I had to basically pursue my artistic career full time. And for me, that was where I started to pay more attention to my art practice. Then I ventured into film. And so most of what I did for my art practice was self-taught. And then along the line, I got selected for the exchange program at the Film Academy in Baden-Württemberg. And from there, I spent a semester and we got to work on so many projects. We made 5 films. They were different people on different, you know, departments of the project. But I got to make my own poetry film. And being in that space, being in that experience, I realized that in as much as talent gives you a good head start, but in order to acquire longevity, in order to give more depth and more versatility to your artistic practice, education cannot be overlooked. And that was what informed my decision to take that big step and, you know, try to further my education by schooling here at Leuphana University.
But how did you exactly chose the cultural studies at Leuphana? Which website did you use? Is it that or what was that?
First, I did some preliminary Google search.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had a Nigerian friend who also schools here.
Leuphana.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of consultation, what is best for me. And I realized there were other schools that also offered similar programs. But because of I have an affinity for culture and African studies, Leuphana was best positioned for me, not only because of the study program, but also because of the proximity of Leuphana as an institution to places like Hamburg, places like Berlin, you know. So I felt that this was the right space to really curate myself through the process of learning and also in terms of my artistic growth, you know. So that was why I chose Leuphana.
Was it difficult transition from Nigeria to Germany in terms of cultural differences, the language?
Oh, yes, it was very difficult. I mean, it's like you're starting over again. But like a friend of mine told me, it's like you're starting over, but on a different level because it's a different weather. For example, you have to deal with that. There is also some kind of like language barrier, of course, cultural barrier, you know. But there is something a mentor of mine, his name is DK Chukwumerije, he said there is no culture other than being human. Being human is the oldest kind of culture. And I believe strongly in that. And as long as there are people wherever I go to, I believe, you know, I can always find a place to call home.
Your passion. Film, storytelling, African narratives. Your poetry films, as you said, have been featured at major festivals. How does film amplify your poetry?
That's a very wonderful question because film as a means of expression for me did not start out as a means for wanting to reach a wider audience per se. It started out because I realized that there were limitations in, for example, when I'm writing poems on paper, I can't create the imagery. And sometimes the audience, like those who read those works of art, there's always a boundary to how much they can have access to what I'm trying to paint. But through film, I realized that I am able to tell the story in a more controlled environment, so to speak. And that was how film started for me. And along the line, I realized that film was a means to reach a wider audience from like different demographies. And so I found myself, you know, putting my films in festivals and reaching wider audience. And there's also something about the moment your message begins to encompass a number of issues, you realize that there is need for you to reach out to people beyond just your immediate environment. And film allows me the possibility of doing that.
You told me in our small text that you're pretty passionate about the redefining African narratives.
Yes.
So as far as I understood, you want to make it more modern, or maybe can you tell us what stereotypes do you aim to break?
I mean, the first stereotype that I would like to break is the stereotype of language, because it seems like by default, the fact that I do not really have access to knowledge systems in my own indigenous mother tongue, it kind of disenfranchises me from, you know, accessing or amplifying the African experience. And I was made to realize by authors like Chinua Achebe that, you know, English can also be a tool, you know, in as much as it feels like, yes, you know, through colonialism, I can't really speak my language, but I feel like there are ways you can indigenize English to reach
more people.
Yes, to reach more people and to also, you know, express these histories. The second place that I also feel like needs to be touched is the place of history. I realize, for example, there is a scarcity of African voices in certain spaces, especially when it comes down to science, to academics, you know, there is always the need for us as Africans to have our stories told in first person. And I believe that no one else, there's also a quote by Chinua Achebe who says that until the lions have their own historians, the history of the hunts will always glorify the hunters. So I feel like there is a need for me to tell my story by Africans, of Africans.
Can you tell us about your project, Benin Did Not Die, She Sends Her Regards?
Yes, Benin Did Not Die, She Sends Her Regards is a multidisciplinary project that has variations as recent poetry. It's been published and translated into several languages. It also has a stage performance version, and it also has a film, which I am proud to say that has been to several festivals. And the project basically stemmed from a book I read by a British army officer named Admiral Reynolds, I think that's his name. And he said something about Benin is a site of idolatry and nothing like culture exists within its walls. And I realized that I found ripples of this same narrative echoing across history when Benin is concerned. And as someone whose ancestral home is Benin, I realized that I did not have access to most of my ancestral artifacts because they're trapped in museums, even here in Germany as well. And so it was my way. So Benin Did Not Die was my way of contributing to that conversation and saying that we would no longer occupy the position of history as victims, but we will occupy history as survivors. And so that's why I said Benin Did Not Die, She Sends Our Regards. You know, and there's a line from the piece where I said, this poisoned river still quenches thirst. You know, like, and I feel that that is an embodiment of what I think that Benin stands for. Benin thrives despite, you know, the expedition of 1897 saw the plundering of like thousands of cultural artifacts from Benin Kingdom by the British, and recapturing this event from the perspective, not from the perspective of victims, but as from the perspective of, you know, survivors and people who have learned to thrive afterwards, was how I felt like I could best retell my story of Benin to the entire world.
I actually even have the goosebumps while you are telling it. It's very interesting, but do you think Western institutions, and maybe just people in general, are responding well to the movement for cultural restitution?
This has been a fight that has been on for hundreds of years. I mean, since even before the Berlin Convention. And I would say that the response has been quite slow. When these artifacts were taken from Benin Kingdom, there were no laws, there were no contracts, there were no legislature that controlled how they were taken. But now, you know, in all of these institutions, we have legislation. For example, the British Museum is where you find most of the Benin artifacts. And I can tell you for a fact that if you removed all of the colonial artifacts from the museum in Britain, you'll be left with almost an empty museum. So there's always this hesitation from their perspective to let go of these artifacts. However, Germany has been one of the countries that has been very responsive in returning the Benin bronzes. I know, for example, the Linde Museum in Stuttgart has been collaborating with a number of artists. They've also facilitated returning some of the artifacts back to Benin Kingdom. I know there is a project called Digital Benin, where hundreds of museums around the world came together to create a kind of like digital archive where you can have access to some of these artifacts, you know. But I feel that compared, you cannot really return what was stolen in terms of the human experience, in terms of how much trauma this has caused, in terms of the historical gap that this has created, you know. So for me, to restitute these artifacts is not a destination, it's a journey. You know, and so far, I feel, yes, there have been, you know, green lights, headways, but I feel like so much more can be done to repatriate this cultural heritage. Yeah.
Student life in Germany.
Yes.
What has been the most unexpected cultural difference in Germany?
I would say that the first thing has to be the language. I mean, even though I know English is widely spoken, I still feel that the fact that I could make humor, for example, in English, and the way a Nigerian would get my humor would differ from how a German would understand my humor. So there is also another difference I would also say has to be in terms of socialization. I would say that here there is more, like, one has to pay a bit more attention to details in how you socialize, because, well, we are from different cultural backgrounds and we have to understand that first before we even begin to socialize. Whereby in Nigeria, I didn't really have to think about that. Another cultural difference that I would say has to be the skin color. Like, for example, when I moved to Germany, I felt a bit more conscious about that, whoa, you're a black person. And in Nigeria, I really wasn't conscious about that. There's an activist, his name is BC Alimi, and he was saying something. He said when he moved to Europe was when he became a black person. And oftentimes I found myself having to contend with that when I'm in certain spaces. But at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is how comfortable you feel in your skin. and how you also have to understand that just like everyone else, you have earned the right to walk on the face of this earth. You know, and for me, that has been a very comforting truth. And it helps me to navigate my way through all of these spaces and all of these things.
But have you ever been in other European or maybe not European countries? I mean, the Europe continent.
Yes. For example, I've been in France, I've been in Slovenia. And I would say it's pretty much almost the same structure, I guess. So yeah, I've been in these spaces. And obviously, the thing is, there is no place like home, you know? So no matter how you want to belong, you feel like you may never truly belong, except for the fact that you can always curate your own idea of home wherever you find yourself.
The next question, how do you balance studying, creating and performing? Because bachelor is pretty hard, and especially the final semester when you need again to start studying, it can be pretty tough to yes. combine something and include something in your daily life. How is it going?
So the thing is, there is never any balance anywhere. You can never find balance. But then, I mean, what I try to do is for the schoolwork, I don't try to leave it too late. So I have a schedule. I have my calendars. I know when I should be doing what and why. So obviously, I would not be making art when I should be studying or like when I should be in class.
Priorities.
I have the weekend for that. I have my holidays for that. I have ample time to plan towards it and, you know, prepare myself. And sometimes even the study and what we are taught, I always try to integrate that into my art practice sometimes, you know. So yeah, it works hand in hand.
Have you found any creative community at Lefana or just in general around Germany?
So far, creative community, not so much. However, I mean, I have, for example, I know there are also art spaces as well. We have, for example, the Kunstraum on campus. Uh-huh. And there is also there's an Fasciatec in Hamburg. I know, like recently, I performed at the Poetry Night for the Black History Month in Hamburg. And there are also a few artists, people that like artist friends I'm also making in like around. But in Lüneburg, I would say no.
It will take time, maybe.
Yes.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
But what is your vision for the future academically and artistically? Do you see yourself even in Germany?
I don't know where I see myself in terms of space or in terms of place. But I have a very structured vision of what I want for myself, like my academics. I would really like to do more in terms of performance studies. I know that is also linked to cultural studies. And for my art, I would like to make art and just tell my stories, what I've always been doing, maybe on a much more bigger scale and a much more structured scale. I mean, when you're studying and you like knowing all these new things, there is no way your art would not grow. And so I hope to do that for the rest of my life.
Just to do what you love.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. You right now have to complete the sentences.
Okay.
Maybe in a fun way, maybe in the realistic way.
So, yes.
The one thing I miss most about Nigeria is...
My mom. Simple.
The most German thing I have started doing is...
Saying Scheiße.
Yes. A book or film that changed my life is...
The Autobiography of Malcolm X by Alex Haley.
If I wasn't an artist, I would probably be...
Be dead. Yeah, art really saved my life. Art gave me a sense of purpose, so yeah.
Very good answer. The biggest misconception about Nigeria is?
The biggest misconception is people don't know that we are an English-speaking country. And I find that very amusing. Like, you know, someone like, hey, what language do you speak in Nigeria? And I'm like, well, your country colonized my country, so like they should actually know, you know. But another misconception is I find there is so much negative news of Nigeria in the media, how Nigeria is like ravaged by terrorism. And they forget that's like barely one region of Nigeria. You know, they say like most Nigerians are like fraudsters, and that is also another narrative that has like is being pushed when people want to say, oh, there should not be immigrants in this particular place. But then when you look at the statistics, you realize like in terms of ratio, or should I say percentage of crimes committed by immigrants, they are not as much compared to those committed by citizens, you know. So all of these, I call it stereotypes, all of these stereotypes has been things that I find very amusing. I mean, we're in the age of information and anyone can learn anything they want to learn. But it's also amazing how much people just take things at face value. And I am also happy to be the agent of change. Like, I like when people say, oh yeah, I know one Nigerian person and, you know, he's not all of these things that people say that they are.
Coming to an end, your journey is really inspiring. For the students who are artists, who are immigrants, or just simply trying to find their place in this life, what is your biggest advice for them?
Just live. Like, live, like L-I-V-E. Don't think too much about the pressure. Just know that however it works out, it will always... There's this quote from Rick and Morty that says, "It's in the end, it's going to be okay. If it's not okay, then it's not the end." You know, so just understand why you're doing what you're doing and try to take things as they come. Don't put yourself under too much pressure and it will all work out, yeah.
In the end, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. You can find all our episodes on our website at podcast.leufana.de, as well as on Spotify and iTunes. Until next time, take care.